Amen. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness, and that's really what today is all about, God's faithfulness. And looking back to the past and seeing what God has done, and I'm so thankful for the heritage that that this church has. I'm thankful for the leadership that this church has had, and obviously I could not go on through the service without especially recognizing the man that gave over half of his life to this church. I'm thankful for Fred Hill and his faithfulness. He was my pastor. Many of you, he was your pastor before I became the pastor of the church. And I think about what God has done through his life. And Miss Joyce, thankful for their children who are here this morning. Rick and Mike, thank you for being here today. And we're honored that you would join us today. And we're so thankful for your dad. And just a faithful man of God. And
he made a good choice.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. We're still working on that, right? Yeah. If you would this morning, would you open your Bibles to the book of Philippians? The book of Philippians. Normally on Sunday mornings, I'm preaching through the book of 1 Peter. Our theme this year for our church is taken from the book of 1 Peter. And our theme is called out to stand out. And that's our theme. And so we're preaching through the book of 1 Peter. But this morning, just with the 75th anniversary being a special day, I want to just pause a moment in our study of 1 Peter, and we're going to be in the book of Philippians today. And if you don't have a home church, obviously we'd love to have you come back and visit again. We're so honored to have you today. You know, anniversaries, they cause us to pause and really look in both directions. Looking backward with gratitude to what God has done, looking forward with faith in what God will do. When Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, we see that he did exactly this. Look in Philippians chapter 1, and notice in verse number 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for your goodness. Thank you for how you have blessed through the ministries of First Baptist Church. Think of the past pastors and members who've just been faithful, Lord. Lord, I think of J.G. Whitley, who in 1950 believed that you were leading him to start a church here in Eaton, Ohio. Lord, how you led him to begin First Baptist Church. And Lord, I don't know if he had any idea of what you would do. I don't know if he thought, boy, 75 years from now, the church is going to continue. Lord, we're thankful. Thankful that you gave him a vision. Thankful for the many men who've led this church. Thankful for the many members just faithfully followed you. Lord, we look to the future as well. And Lord, we look by faith, believing that you are still a great God. Lord, that past is not just the greatness of God, but the future as well. The past is just simply looking back and seeing how great you have been, helping us and encouraging us and knowing that you can still do great things in the future. So Father, I pray that you would just continue to bless the ministries of First Baptist Church. Thank you for each person who's here this morning. Thank you for those joining us via live stream. And Lord, the beautiful singing this morning, just lifting up Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray now as we look to your word, you'd bring encouragement to us. Lord, speak to our hearts as only you can today. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice that Paul thinks backward in the past and also forward in the future. He remembered how God had worked in the past. He rejoiced in their present ministry and trusted God for the future. And that's exactly what this 75th anniversary is all about. I just want to share three quick things with you this morning. Of course, I know we have a meal afterwards, so everyone is welcome to stay for that. But just because we have a meal doesn't mean I'm going to go 2 hours preaching, okay? I do want to respect your time, and thank you so much for being here today. But I want you to notice a couple things here in the book of Philippians. Notice the first thing, there is a work that is remembered. Paul is looking back to the past, and he's remembering the work that God has done. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice he's looking back with gratitude. The church at Philippi had really a remarkable beginning. If you think about it, when you go back to Acts chapter 16, really Acts chapter 15 is where we find Paul kind of wondering and searching where he's supposed to go. And he begins praying about certain areas, and the Lord closes a door here and closes a door here. And finally, he's just praying, Lord, where do you want me to go? And God gives him a vision of what is referred to as the man of Macedonia, praying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul says, assuredly gathering, the Lord had led us, we went. And of course, he gets to Macedonia, what would be Greece today. And as he's there, he goes to this town of Philippi and he begins to preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us he goes down by the river and there was a woman there, Lydia, who was a seller of purple. And of course, if you know about purple, you know, in our day today, colors really don't mean a whole lot. But in that day, purple was very expensive. It was a royal color. There was only certain places where you could get purple clothing. And so here's Lydia. She's a seller of purple. She must have had some type of business, a businesswoman here. And she hears Paul's preaching. And she gets saved. She puts her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then as she begins to grow, she opens up her home for a church. And she says, hey, you can start meeting in my home. And so they start meeting there in Lydia's home. And then, of course, as Paul and Silas continue preaching, there's an uproar in the city. Because Paul casts out some demons from this young lady, and these men were using her as like a soothsayer and to sell their merchandise and things like this, and he cast the demon out of her, and so they basically lost their business from the soothsaying and things, and so they're not really happy with Paul, and so they stir up the people in the city to turn against Paul, and so Paul and Silas are placed in jail. They're beaten, and then they're placed in jail and placed in stocks in the jail, and not a great place to be, I would say. And as they're there, instead of complaining and griping, they begin, the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas begin to sing. They begin to praise God. Can you imagine? You've just been beaten. You've just been put in stocks. And you haven't broken any law. The only reason you're there is because you were preaching the gospel. And so they're there in jail, they're there in prison, and they begin singing and testifying and praising God. The Bible says there's an earthquake that happens and all the doors open in the jail, and the jailer comes and he thinks, boy, all the prisoners are gone, and he pulls out his sword. He's about to kill himself, knowing that all the prisoners have escaped. And Paul from the darkness calls out and he says, hey, don't do that. We're all still here. The man is just, he's dumbfounded the prisoners would still be there after the doors have been opened, the chains have fallen off. And he comes in and he says to Paul, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul takes the word of God and he goes to his home and he teaches this man and his family about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they believed and many in his house believed. And so this church just continues to grow here in Philippi. But it was a church that was born out of hardship and revival. And when Paul thought about them, he did not remember the problems there. He didn't say, boy, I remember being in jail. You notice he didn't say that. He didn't say, I remember the beating that we took. I remember being in stocks. No, what does he say? He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He says, I'm not thinking of the problems that I went through. I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of you individuals, the church there, the people that had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He didn't remember the problems. He remembered God's goodness. You know, sometimes we can focus more on the problems of life and not the goodness of God. You ever been there before? It just seems like, boy, things are mounting in our life. Things are getting harder and harder and harder. And we start focusing on them instead of how good God is. Friend, can I tell you something? God is always good. He's always good. Always. Yes, there are times when there are difficulties in life. And yes, there are times when we have problems and things. But never forget the goodness of God. And that's what Paul is doing. He's remembering God's goodness. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always and every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You know, every church anniversary should be a time of remembrance. Think about the people who started the church. Again, I mentioned J.G. Whitley, who started First Baptist Church. I don't know what led him here. I don't know what it was, but somehow God began working in his heart and led him here to Eaton, Ohio, and he began First Baptist Church. Again, I think of Pastor Fred Hill, pastored for 42 years at First Baptist Church, 8 years as pastor emeritus, gave 50 years of his life to this church. So many people have been touched because of that man's faithfulness. Many that we'll never even know about because he was faithful. I think of faithful Sunday school teachers. Many of these names that I might mention here, some of you probably have no idea who they are. Some of you that have been here for a while, you might remember some of these names. Thelma Bollinger, one of the founding members of First Baptist Church, passed away in 2012. Faithful Sunday school teacher, faithful lady, Vince and Alice Keegan, Lena Lipscomb, Ron and Ruth Stubblefield, Dick Johnson, Roberta Caudill, Charlie and Rufina Frost. So many faithful members, faithful ones, many who have already passed on, but we can look back and we can say, thank God for their faithfulness. Thank the Lord that they were willing to stay faithful to the Lord, stay faithful to the church, stay faithful to the Word of God. You think about the sacrifices that have been made. I remember several people have talked to me about when the church was started back in 1951 and when they met there at the Eaton Armory, and then the Brown family donated the property there on Maple Street. They donated the property to the church, and they were trying to raise the money for the building. And so they were kind of going around selling blocks. And so they went around in the community and, would you buy a block for First Baptist Church? And the sacrifices that people made to start the church and to have that church built, the prayers that have been prayed. I think of faithful prayer warriors. Think of Miss Betty, so faithful, praying. I think of Mr. No, just a faithful man of God. Couldn't see, but boy, could he pray. Just faithfully, the prayers that have been prayed for this church, the souls that have been saved. Many of you sitting here today have been saved through the ministry of this church. But think about all the others that have been saved through the ministries of this church. Souls that have been, countless souls that have been saved because of the faithfulness of God's people, the ministries that have been started. And many who have labored are already in heaven. They're already in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But their labor still bears fruit today. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you thankful that their labor, their faithfulness is still bearing fruit today? If we are here today, it is because God has been faithful. God has been faithful. May I say, secondly, not only does Paul look at a work remembered, but he speaks of a work shared. Notice in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The word fellowship there has that idea of partnership. The church of Philippi partnered with Paul in the spread of the gospel. They supported him spiritually. They prayed for him. They supported him financially. They supported him personally. In fact, they were not just spectators. They were participants in God's mission. In fact, Paul says later on in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we're not going to take time to read them, but he says, there's no other church that has communicated with me. There's no other church that has partnered with me in ministry and sharing the gospel than the church of Philippi. No other church. There were other churches that Paul helped to start, but he says, no church communicated and partnered with me like you did. There's no church that has prayed for me. There's no church that has given the way you have given. May I say, a church does not last 75 years because of one pastor or one generation. It lasts because people work together for the gospel. People are willing to partner together. They're working together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, through the years, there have been countless teachers, Sunday school teachers, junior church teachers, choir members, nursery workers. Praise God for nursery workers. I'm telling you, nursery workers, they don't get their due. I'm telling you. You know, so nursery workers think, you know, well, you know, I'm just in there watching the babies, you know, wiping snotty noses and things like this. Praise God that there are ladies that are willing to they're missing the service. They're missing services, but they're willing to be in the nursery, holding babies, changing babies, right? I mean, thank the Lord for faithful nursery workers, right? Because that's not one place that I would want to be. Just being honest with you, just being honest, right? So, prayer warriors, faithful givers. Every role matters. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter how God has called you to serve. I'm so thankful for this church. And we have so many people. One of the testimonies in the video was just all the people that serve. So many people in this church that serve in so many aspects of the church. Can I tell you? That's why a church lasts 75 years. It's not because of one person. It's not just because of one generation. It's because of a church coming together for the cause of Jesus Christ, a church understanding our purpose and that together we can reach our community for Christ. That's what church is all about. A church is not about the building, and thank the Lord for this beautiful building that God has provided, but it's not about the building. It's about the people. The people that have partnered together. And this is what Paul is saying. I'm thanking God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You look around this beautiful building, all the bricks that are here. You know, a building stands because thousands of individual bricks are placed together. But I tell you this, you start removing enough bricks, the structure collapses. You see, it's not just one brick. It's all of them working together. It's not just one person. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the staff. No, it's everyone working together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone working together so that others can know Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that families can be changed, lives can be strengthened in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church, in reaching people with the gospel, helping them to know Christ and grow in their faith and in their knowledge of him. Paul celebrated the fact that their partnership had continued. Notice he says, from the first day until now. Paul said, man, from that first day that I was there, when I met Lydia on that riverbank and she got saved, and then the Philippian jailer and his house got saved, from that first day that God began to work in Philippi, he says, from that day until now, you have been partnering with me in the gospel. You've been partnering, coming alongside and working together so that the gospel can go forward. He says, boy, I'm thanking God. I'm so thankful to what God has done. You see, it's a shared work. It's not just an individual work. It's a remembered work. It's a shared work. But can I say lastly here, notice verse number 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he, by the way, the word he there is referring to God, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm thankful that we can look back and we can remember the faithfulness of God's people. I'm thankful that we can look around and see that it is a shared work, that we are working together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, here's what really excites me. It is a continued work. God says, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, in verse number 6, he turns our attention to the future. He's, man, I'm thankful for what God has done and thankful for partnering together presently, but I'm thankful for what God is going to do in the future. In the future. Paul's confidence was not in the people of the church. His confidence was not in programs. His confidence was not in resources. His confidence was in God. That he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to give you three encouraging truths here under this passage here. Notice, God started the work. God started the work. This was not something, again, remember when you go back to Acts chapter 15 and 16, you'll see how it was God that led Paul to Macedonia. I'm so thankful that God led J.G. Whitley to Eaton, Ohio to start First Baptist Church. God started the work. Every true church is born because God initiates the work. Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm thankful that 75 years ago, God started something in First Baptist Church. But not only did God start it, God sustains the work. He sustains it. You know, churches face many challenges over decades. You know what's sad? There's so many churches that are closing today. Churches all across America are closing down. I'm part of some different pastor groups and things, and I don't know how many times on a weekly basis I'll see a church pop up, we're looking for a pastor. We're looking for a pastor. We're looking for a pastor. I was just down in Georgia, and just a couple weeks ago, preaching at a church down there, and one of the guys was sitting there, and he says, hey, there's a church here. I mean, this church is, you know, several hundred people in the church. They're looking for a pastor. He said, you want to come? I said, nope. Don't want to. I got a church. All right, this is my church up here. There's churches all over looking for pastors. Churches that are closing their doors. They're not growing. They're not being sustained. And they're having to close doors. All across America, churches are closing their doors. And so, yes, we understand there are challenges over the decades, cultural changes, leadership transitions. I'm the 10th pastor of First Baptist Church. Before Pastor Hill came in 1970, there were eight pastors between 1951 and 1970. And then Pastor Hill came along, and I'm telling you, I can't say enough about Pastor Hill. Just a faithful man of God. Just a faithful man of God for 42 years. And then Pastor Hill called me one day when I was in Uganda, or actually we were still here. At the old property, I had gone in. He said, hey, I want you to come in and I want to ask you something. I went into his office and he said, I want you to pray about something with me. Sure. I thought somebody was sick or something's going on. Sure, I'll pray with you. He said, I want you to pray about coming back from Africa and taking over the church. No. I said, Pastor Earl, I will pray about it, but I can already tell you, no, God is not in that, right? What are you laughing for? Okay, pastors make mistakes too, all right? Right? And so we went back to Uganda, right? We went back to Uganda and we're there, and every month he's calling me. Hey, Brother Andrew, what do you think? I'm like, Pastor Hill, I just don't have peace about saying yes. But what really bothered me is I didn't have peace about saying no either. And so I said, I just don't know yet. A month would go by, he'd call. Brother Andrew, what do you think? I'm like, Pastor Hill, I don't know. And so finally I said, you know what, Pastor Hill? I said, just let the church vote. I'm in Africa, right? There is no way that the church is gonna vote for a guy in Africa. Not a chance. You're laughing again, right? He called me. He said, Brother Andrew, you got the vote. I said, Lord, that wasn't supposed to happen. That was not my plans. And of course, just a few months later, within the year, the Lord in 2012 brought us back here, became the pastor in 2012. You see, it's not just about one person. It's about the faithfulness of God's people. Yeah, there are difficulties, there are challenges and things like that. But you know what? God's still faithful. God sustains what he starts. Can I say lastly, God will continue the work. The best days of a church do not have to be in the past. Many times we look in the past, we say, man, God's done some great things. God's done some amazing things. God's done awesome things, people getting saved and lives being changed. And boy, we went from the Eaton Armory to that small building. And then a few years later, God blessed the church and the church had to build an addition onto it. And then the church stayed there for a number of years and God blessed and we're now here. But can I tell you something? God has not stopped working. It's not just in the past that we look and see what God is doing. I'll be honest, God really spoke to my heart this week, this past week during the revival meeting. Man, what a great revival meeting we had Sunday through Wednesday with Dr. Mike Edwards and just a great, great messages. God really spoke to my heart and I want to pray for God to do greater things. I'll be honest, I think maybe I had just kind of got complacent. Man, look at this beautiful building we're in. Look at, it's full every Sunday, you know, and just kind of complacent. We're just going to kind of go through the motions. And God really broke my heart. He said, you know what? I can still do greater things. God can still do greater things. You say, are you saying that you want the church to grow so that, you know, we can have another building or so you get the glory? No, friend, you missed it. It's about God. It's about what God has done. It's about what God wants to do. Do you know, understand, God still wants to work. There are still lives that need to be changed for the glory of God. There are still people lost and on their way to a devil's hell. They need someone to tell them about Jesus Christ. There are still families that are trapped in addictions and things like that and problems, and they need the hope of Jesus Christ to come alongside and to encourage them and help them. Our God can still do great things. Don't look at 75 years and be like, wow, I can't believe we made it 75 years. Bet we won't make it another five. Hey, why would we want to look at it that way? Hey, how about saying, man, my wife and I were talking the other day. How old will we be at the 100th anniversary of the church? I refuse to answer that question. Yeah. Old. 100 years. 100 years of the church. He said, do you really think that it can happen? Absolutely. You think it could be greater than the 75th? Absolutely. Why? Because our God is great. Our God is great. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God that is not just in the past. He's in the present and he's in the future and he wants to do great things. I don't want to see God just do great things in my generation though. If the Lord doesn't return, I want to see the next generation do greater things than we've done. I'm so thankful for the young people that we have in this church. And I am so excited to see how God is using them. Some of them here are in college that are got to come back for ministry weekend. And they're serving, many of them are serving somewhere in the church this morning. God's going to use them. And I can't wait to see God do greater things in their life than he has in mine. Why? Because it's not about them and it's not about me. It's about him. And God is able. We like Brother Edward said, so many times we just limit God to this little box and we think, well, God's just not able. God can't do it. Friend, I don't know about you, but my God doesn't fit in a box. He created the universe just by speaking into existence. He spoke the words and it all came into existence. I serve a great God. And if you don't understand that this morning, maybe you're here this morning, you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't even know where I'd go if I died. Friend, can I tell you something? God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin and for your sin. Because we cannot pay for our sin. Look, I'm so thankful for the life and ministry of First Baptist Church, but can I tell you something? Not one person in 75 years has been saved by First Baptist Church. Not one. First Baptist Church can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I can give them the gospel. I can tell them about the one who can. I can tell them about Jesus Christ who can save them, but I can't save anybody. This church, you can be a member of First Baptist Church, friend, and you can die and go to hell. Because it's not about a church. It's not about religious rituals. You can get baptized. You can get baptized every week. You still die and go to hell. You can be faithful. You can give in the offering. You can do all the things that you think that a religious person ought to do and should do. You can do all those things. And friend, you know what? They can't take away one sin. Not one. You see, if they could take away your sin, and I tell you this, there would be no Christmas and there'd be no Easter. Jesus would not have come. He would not have died on the cross. He would not have had to been buried. He would not have had to rise again. If there's something that you and I can do to save ourselves, there's no point in Jesus coming to this earth. But I know the Bible tells us that he did. He came to this earth because we cannot save ourselves. He came to this earth because there's no sin that we can take away in our own life. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived 33 and a half years perfectly so that he could be the perfect sacrifice on the cross. And when he gave his life, by the way, he gave it. No one took it. He gave his life on the cross for our sin. The Bible tells us very clearly, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a great day to get that settled. What a great day to be able to say, today I got that settled. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. You can say, boy, this is a great church. Friend, this church cannot save you. Can't save you. But we know who can. Jesus Christ can. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we would love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. There's still people to reach. There's still people to disciple and families to strengthen. There's still missionaries to send around the world. It's amazing. In the past 10 years, 11 years, I think, 10 or 11 years, maybe 12, our church, just in missions, again, this doesn't stay here at our church. This goes to all of our missionaries around the world, has given over $1 million in missions. You know who gets the glory for that? God does. God gets the glory for that. Over $1 million. Look, we're not a huge church. We're not a wealthy church. If you are, please see me after the service. Like to talk to you. Just faithful people. Willing to sacrifice, willing to give, so that the gospel can go around the world. The anniversary is not the finish line. It's just a milestone on the journey. At 75 years, we can truly say we remember with gratitude those who enabled us to come to this point. We think back, remember many of them. God has been faithful. We rejoice in our partnership together in the present. I'm so thankful for all of those who give and serve in our church today. God has used many people. And we look forward with confidence because God is not finished. The same God who began the work 75 years ago, notice what he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friend, can I tell you, if we'll just be faithful to the Lord, he'll keep working. He'll keep working. God is not finished. The church at Philippi lasted because believers stayed committed to the gospel. The question for every generation is this: will we be as faithful for the next 25 years or 50 years or 75 years as those who came before us were, so that we can see God do great things? With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want to take this too long, but I do want to give an invitation, what we call an invitation, because I believe this is one of the most important parts of the service. Friend, maybe you're here today. You could be a church member. You could be a visitor. And in your heart, you know, in your heart, God is speaking because you don't know if you're saved or not. Maybe you thought just by being a church member or getting baptized or giving or being faithful to church or some religious thing that you could do, you thought maybe that's how you could go to heaven one day. Friend, can I tell you, that's not what the Word of God says. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm going to be very honest. I do not know where I would go if I died. I just don't know. I'd like to say I would go to heaven, but I honestly, in my heart, I do not know. Friend, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to pray for you this morning. If that's you this morning, you say in your heart, you know in your heart, Pastor, I'm not sure where I would go. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you this morning. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not really even sure I know what all that means. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Anyone here this morning, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And if that's you here today, you say, Pastor, I would like to know how I could be saved. When the piano begins to play, I'm going to ask you to come step out where you're at, come right down here. I'm going to meet you, and we're going to have someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Christian, maybe you're a member of First Baptist Church, and we can look back and say, God's been faithful. We're so thankful for the partnership of so many people here at this church that the work is able to continue and go on. But are we looking to the future and saying, God's still good? God can still do great things, and we're going to believe and we're going to trust him to do even greater things in the future ahead of First Baptist Church. And how God can use you to reach people with the gospel. How God can use you to help people to come to know him. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, this is just a building. I'm just a man, but your word is powerful. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. If there is someone today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, you would help them, convict them that they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, for our Christians and for our church, would we pray that we would continue to be faithful to you? We would continue to look to the future and say, God, we know you can do greater things, and we're just going to be faithful like those who've come behind us. We're going to be faithful in the future so that you can still do great things. Father, work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand quietly to our feet. We're just going to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's going to begin playing softly. If you're part of our church, you say, Pastor, I want to be faithful. I want to continue to see God do great things. Then maybe this morning, maybe we ought to just come down to the altar and just say, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. But Lord, we don't want to just see in the past greatness of God. We want to see you continue to do great things in the future. So if you would pray with me this morning as a part of this church, would you come and just line the altar here and say, God, we want to see you do greater things in the life of this church. Friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Oh, we would love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. To know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'll be with him when you take your last breath. Friend, we would love to take God's word and show you how to be saved. Do we believe that God can really still do greater things? Or have we kind of put him in a box and said, oh, it's in the past. It's in the past. No, friend, he's not just in the past. He's in the future. He's in the present. He's with us now. He wants to do great things if we'll be faithful and we'll let him use us. 25 years from now, we could be having a 100th anniversary and looking back and saying, thank the Lord for the faithfulness of those just in the past 25 years. To see where God has brought us. Would you be faithful to him? Not because of this church, but because of him. Because of what he has done. You know, there are people probably that you work with, neighbors, that need to know about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the faithfulness of God. Will you tell them? That's our job. Think about the song that's being played, God is so good. He's so good to me. Can't we be thankful for God's goodness in our life? Thankful for his faithfulness? If nothing else, can't we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, forgiving my sins, giving me a home with you for eternity? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We do not deserve your goodness. We don't deserve your faithfulness. Lord, we're so thankful for it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take the mantle now that has been passed to us. Lord, many have come before, many are with you. Lord, that mantle has been passed to us. Help us to remain faithful to you. Help us to look in the past and say how good you've been, but look to the future and say, you're going to continue your work. You're going to continue. If we'll be faithful and we'll follow you, you can continue and do greater things for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to simply be faithful to you, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For God, you are good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.